Have you open your Bibles with me this morning to John chapter 7. Before we begin reading, our pastor is in Danville this morning. He'll be preaching in Lexington tonight, so let's keep him and Jan as they travel. Frank preaches in our prayers. We have no one to sing a special this morning. I had thought about it, but I was afraid no one would stick around for the preaching. So, John chapter 7, verse 43. This will be our text. There was a division among the people because of him. Let's go to our Lord in prayer before we begin. Our God and Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together. Lord, we pray you'd bless us here this morning. Lord, bless your word. Lord, I pray that you would enable me to speak with boldness, with compassion, Lord, to speak in love and truth. And Lord, bless us all in hearing. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive and rejoice in thy word. Lord, bless your word here and in all places where thy people gather together. Bless the preaching and hearing the word. Lord, above all things, teach us of Christ. Teach us of our Savior. For in his name we pray and give thee thanks. Amen. There was a division among the people because of him. A division. I was thinking about this yesterday, looking over my notes, and I can't think of a time in my lifetime when there has been so much division in our nation as there is right now. Right now, as we sit here this morning. And it certainly would be easy to get caught up in it. But let's be careful. Let's be careful. Our Lord, he said this in the parable of the sower, talking about that seed being sown among the thorns. And he said this, he said, "They are they that hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of this world, gets choked out. The word gets choked out as a result of these things." This division we read of here in God's word, it was because of him, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be taken up with him. Here's the issue. What think ye of Christ? What think you of him? And I'm convinced that most division in this world, in our homes, in marriages, in business, among families, it's insistent on my way. It's a desire to have things my way. In the garden, go back all the way to the garden. Adam sought his way. He disobeyed God. And though division is common in this world, it is now, and it always has been, among believers, it just shouldn't be. In our homes, the scriptures declare this: wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as fit in the Lord. We read this: husbands, love your wives. Love them like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't be overly harsh. We're not to be overly harsh with our children. And I can certainly speak from experience in this area. It's so easy to be overly harsh with our children. How often do we forget just that they are children? It's even easy to forget sometimes that they're grown-ups. In the home, we read that the husband and wife are heirs together. Hear that word, together. Heirs together of the grace of life. There should be no division in our homes. Not in the home of two believers. What about in the church? What about among God's people? 1 Corinthians. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 25. That there should be, verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That word schism, it means division. And though members of the church differ in gifts and personality and honor, we should all have the same love and care for each other. When one member suffers, we all suffer with them. When one is honored, we all rejoice with them. We're members of the body, one body, joined together. 1 Peter 3:8 says this, love as brethren, be of one mind, having compassion one on another. Love as brethren. Love one another as brethren. Turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, beginning with verse 34. The Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to his disciples, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. No schism, no division among God's people, no division in our homes. What about in this world? What about our walk in this world? What do the scriptures say about that? Over in Romans chapter 12, I won't have you turn there, but he says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But turn with me back to our text here in John chapter 7. Look beginning with verse 37 of John chapter 7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many, look at verse 40 there, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, they said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? Verse 43. So, there was a division among the people because of him. A division because of him. The division was because of him. And it can be seen throughout God's word. Starting in the Old Testament, wasn't there with Noah? Wasn't there a division in the days of Noah? Wasn't there a difference there? Those that rebelled and those that had a refuge in the flood. There was those who had no refuge, and there was Noah and his family who had a refuge. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah and his family, 8 souls, were saved by water. Outside the ark, there was death and destruction, God's judgment for sin. But inside the ark, peace, safety, life. How about Cain and Abel? Was there division there? Cain brought the fruits of his labor, the works of his hand. Abel brought that blood sacrifice, that which pictured the Lord Jesus Christ. And Cain rose up early and he slew his brother. That's truly division, wasn't it? Over in Exodus 11, verse 7, we read that God said this. He said, I'll put a difference between my people, Israel, and the people of Egypt. He said, against the children of Israel shall not a dog wag its tongue. Against man or beast, that you may know how the Lord hath what? Hath put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. God sent those plagues on the Egyptians. And over we read of this division between his people and the people of Egypt. He sent murrain upon the cattle. And all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel, not one. He put a difference between their cattle, didn't he? God sent hail. Everything in the field was affected. Man, beast, herb, every tree was smitten by that hail and broken. But in Goshen, in the land of Goshen where the children of Israel dwelt, not one little bit of hail. God sent darkness, 3 days, darkness that could be felt. But there were light. There was light in the dwellings of those of the children of Israel. God put a difference. And that final plague, death, the death that would pass through, God passed through the land, killed the firstborn from the Egyptians. And there was a great cry that went out as a result of that. But among the children of Israel, that blood was on the door. God put a difference. God passed over the children of Israel. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. A difference, a division because of him. In Mark chapter 10, Peter's speaking to the Lord. He said, lo, we've left all and we followed thee. And the Lord said to him, he said, verily I say unto you, there's no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land. Why? Because I wanted things my way? No. For my sake. For the sake of the gospel. The gospel divides. True gospel divides. In Luke chapter 12, 51, our Lord, he said, suppose you I've come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. In 2 Corinthians 2, he said, to one, we're a savor of death, unto death. And to the other, a savor of life to life. One hears and rejoices, and one lifts his fist and declares, I'll not have this man to reign over me. Now quickly, I just want us to look at just a few scriptures here this morning on this four things that divide men. It divided men when our Lord walked this earth, and it divides men today. First, turn with me to John chapter 10. Look at verse 31 of John chapter 10. Here we read, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Well, why? Why was it? Why the division? Why would these so-called religious men seek to kill the Lord of glories? Why would they do that? Back in verse 32, we read that Jesus answered them. He said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Well, was it his good works? Is that why they sought to stone him? He went about healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, made lepers whole, the deaf to hear. He turned water to wine. He fed thousands with five loaves and two fishes. He raised the dead. For which of these good works did they desire to stone him? Well, if you still have John 10, look back at verse, beginning with verse 22. Here we read, it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter. Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch, and then came the Jews round about him and said to him, how long do you make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, he said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Why the division? Why are these so-called religious leaders going to stone the Lord Jesus Christ? They said this. They said, thou being a man, makest thyself to be God. Look at verse 33. The Jews answered him. They said, for a good work, we stone thee not. Oh, we love good works, don't we? He said, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus Christ is God. That statement divides. It divides me. His name declares who he is. Emmanuel. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Over in John 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said this, the Lord I himself said, he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus Christ is God. He's God Almighty in human flesh. The world loves him. They love a man named Jesus. They love him as a reformer. They loved it when he went about doing good, when he worked his miracles, but they will not have him as Almighty God. As a sovereign God. They will not bow to him. Listen to 1 Timothy 3. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, believed in the world, received up in glory. Jesus Christ is God. There was a division, wasn't there? They sought to stone him. But if you read on, if you read the rest of John chapter 10, there were those that sought to stone him. But we'll read many. Many believed on him. Many believed on him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty? Second, turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Look at verse 29. Here we read that they rose up and they thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. That sounds like division again, doesn't it? They're gonna throw him over a cliff head first. Why? Why the division? What had he said? What had the Lord Jesus Christ said that these men desired to carry him out of the city and cast him over a cliff? Well, look beginning back at verse 25. Our Lord speaking, he said, I tell you the truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. That one little widow woman. He said many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. None of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And when they heard this, they that were in the synagogue, well, these weren't bad people, right? These were people in the synagogue. They were filled with wrath. Why? His sovereign, electing, distinguishing grace. He said, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Moses asked God, he said, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And what did he say? He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. The natural man believes God owes him something. Huh? Salvation for his good works, for the good things he's contributed. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ declare? Huh? He owes us something, all right. The wages of sin is death. If we want to talk about what we've earned, there it is. The wages of sin is dead. And that offends the natural man's pride. Listen, I'm a sinner. We need to fall at his feet as sinners. And if God's pleased to save me, it'll be because of his sovereign grace. It'll be because of his mercy. It'll be because of the work of Christ. Not because what man has done. His sovereign grace. That creates division. You want to get things stirred up in the lunchroom, Earl? Talk about that, right? His sovereign grace. God saving whom he will. And listen, these folks, they heard this, they were filled with wrath, and they were going to cast him over the cliff. But if you read on in verse 32 of Luke 4, it says, when he came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he taught on the Sabbath, there were others. They were astonished at his doctrine because he spoke the word with power. He didn't change his message, did he? He didn't change what he was saying. For some, they rose up to slay him. Others, they heard that and he said that he speaks with power. One sin of God. Turn back with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Look at verse 60. It says, many, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Is what I'm saying, does this offend you? What had he said? What had he said to the people? Look back in beginning in verse 53. John chapter 6, look at verse 53. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. They said that's a hard saying. What's a hard saying? It's my third point. Union with Christ. Union with him. Christ dwelling in us. Christ in you. The hope of glory. That living vital union that the believer has with Christ and Christ has with his people. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. Union, communion, fellowship with Christ. We're completely dependent upon him. And as the Father and Son are one, think about that. As the Father and Son are one, he's one with his people. He's one with us. What he has, we have. Where he is, we are. As he is, so are we in this world, even right now. And we constantly feed upon him. We constantly look to him. What was it divided them? What was it that divided? It was union with Christ. Some said this is a, and some of them said this is a hard saying. Who can hear this? Scripture says that from that time, many of his disciples, they followed him no more. They went back and walked with him no more. But look at verse 67. Still have John 6, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto them, to the 12. Does that offend you? Is there going to be a division there with us because of this? He said, will you go away? Simon Peter answered. He said, Lord, whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the last point. What divides men? Look at John chapter 8 in verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the people, out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why did they desire to stone him here again? Well, look at verse 41. He told these people, he said, you do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. He told these men, he said, you're sinners. You're sinners. And it upset them. It Obviously, it upset him. They wanted to stone him. Does that offend you to be called a sinner? He's revealed to you that's what you are. It doesn't offend you, does it? Huh? I remember Brother Henry telling a story one time about preaching on TV, and he said that he was there was a fellow that heard him, but he said what he said was he said he pointed to the camera. Everybody on the other end of the, you know, on the TV stalling pointing, and he said we're sinners. We're sinners. He said I'm a sinner. And then he pointed to the camera. He said, and you're a sinner. And there was a fella, I don't know if he called him or wrote him or showed up at the service. And he said, listen, I don't have a problem with you calling yourself a sinner, but I'm not a sinner. And by nature, the natural man, that's what we think about ourselves, isn't it? That we're not sinners. The scriptures declare, what do the scriptures say about that? How would you respond to that? I'm not a sinner. The scriptures declare all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And let's read a few more verses here. Look at verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, if that's true, if God were your father, you'd love me. You'd love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. A natural man cannot hear. You're of your father, the devil. That's our nature. The children of the devil. The lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not the truth because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me. By nature, we will not believe the truth. He said, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Man is without excuse. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not my sheep. John 7:43, there was a division. A division among the people because of him. What did he declare? He declared that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He's God in human flesh. What divides men? What creates division among men? His sovereign, electing, distinguishing grace. His right to save whom he will. What offends men? Union with Christ. That I am, as a sinner, I am completely and totally dependent upon him. What offends the natural flesh? What creates that division? Why is there a division because of him? Because man is a sinner. That's what he declared, that man is sinful. No hope. No hope apart from Christ. A division because of him. The gospel divides his people. From this world. And let me say this one more time in closing. His people. We all have our differences, but his people are not divided. We're members one of another. Our Lord said this. This was his prayer over in John 17. He said, neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. What did he pray? That they all may be one. As the Father art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them. That they may be one, even as we're one. Turn with me to one more scripture. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Everybody have Ephesians 4. Look at verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One. One eternal, infinite, omnipotent God of heaven and earth. He's our Father. He's the Father of His people. And He delivers us in Christ. He's sovereign over all things. He cares for us. And He dwells in us. And as believers, we have these things common. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father who's above all. There's no division there, is there? One. One family joined together in love. Stronger than anything in this world, stronger than anything we can even understand. And to disturb that unity would be displeasing and dishonoring to God. So may He be pleased. May He be pleased to deliver us from sin and self and doing anything that would bring reproach on us. May God be pleased to bless His word. You're dismissed.